a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
So, hopefully you've heard that before. I'm Taylor Powers. There's Dan Tetzel. And we are Easy Being Green. And today's topic is a bit of a heavier one because of the UN's climate summit and what's kind of been brought to light. And Greta Thunberg's very striking speech that kind of has hit the world with a big slap in the face.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you've seen it, like Taylor's saying. If not, I recommend that you watch her speech.
Yeah.
You'll hear that clip that we just played along with her entire speech, which she's been a climate activist, I think, for a few years now. So, and from Sweden. And that's what she's doing. She's a student still, but she is an activist. That's what she's put her life's work into at this point, at the ripe old age of 16.
I know. And I mean, it's such a kind of, I don't know, hot button, because there's so many young people, you know, just because this specific speech went viral and everybody has been watching it and talking about it. You know, she was there last year. She gave a speech. There are kids there every year giving speeches just like it. But I think you can really see the emotion coming through her and the seriousness of it. And I don't know, it was just overpowering.
And her direct approach. And if you watch it, or if you have watched it, you'll see that she's very well spoken, and
mm-hmm.
she is passionate, but she's direct. And
oh, and she's so knowledgeable. Like, everything she said is spot on. Mm-hmm. You know, she really kind of gets into the science of it too. The whole speech is 4.5 minutes long. And she tells it how it is, and very, you know, people think that climate change is so confusing and there's this and that, but she just kind of breaks it down into very simple terms. Like, this is the CO2 levels that we're at, and we're not doing anything spectacular that's going to get that down to the goals that we've made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She really speaks from her heart. In preparing for this, I was looking at some of the information, the reports and the articles that have been written after the climate summit. And the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, is saying, you know, we're losing the race. He said the race against climate change, we're losing it. And we've talked about this in here, but it's an emergency is what he's saying at this point. And, you know, it's at the point that, like we always say in here, we're not giving up hope, and there are things that we can always keep doing, and that's why we're having the climate summit. That's why the climate summit is happening. But within that, some countries are, you know, working towards solutions, and some aren't.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's the big polluters, the major polluters, that aren't, and it's the developing countries that risk the most damage.
Right.
That are trying to make changes.
That's right. It's the most powerful countries, really, that do need to be stepping up right now, and they just aren't. And I think that's what Greta was really speaking to in her speech. So The United States did not have a speaking, so they did not request a slot to speak. President Trump did unexpectedly drop in to the General Assembly Hall with the vice president, and the former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who's now the special envoy for climate change for the United Nations, welcomed him and said, hopefully our discussions here will be useful for you when you formulate climate policy. And apparently this was followed by laughter and applause. So, you know,
not
we all
surprised
know
there.
Yeah, yeah, where he stands. So
yeah. And China, the other, you know, major polluter, didn't even show up at all. So kind of everything that was that happened there, everything that was said there was almost overshadowed by the fact of these absentees.
The major countries that are doing the most of the...
That didn't say a word.
That weren't even there. Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but we're going backwards from the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, where the United States was leading other countries in a lot of these efforts. And of course, we all know what has happened there. But the Trump administration has rolled back tons and tons of environmental regulations that were supposed to be curbing greenhouse gas emissions. Mm-hmm. So it's a sad thing. And I think this is what Greta was speaking to us very, very clearly and emphatically. And from the perspective of her generation, which Taylor's saying she's not the first young activist to be out there, but she's also posted on social media and starting to get her word out there.
Yeah. And because of social media, that's really what has made this take off. That, you know, I feel like social media in general gets so much hatred because of its, you know, addictive tendencies and other things. But in this case, it really does help spread awareness for a lot of great causes.
Right.
And this is why I think climate change has become so, it's been, the world has been educated on it is because of social media. Because a lot of people don't watch the news or read certain articles or journals, and they only get their news based off of social media. And so that's how they're finding out about these things.
Exactly. And I was just thinking, you know, it's the talk around the water cooler in the office, right?
Right.
So we learn a lot of things just by talking to our coworkers and friends and things like that. But social media has amped that up to a whole new degree because people can, in their spare time or whatever, go and see. And with hashtags and things like that, if you're looking for certain information, you can search it and it's readily available for you.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that Greta's talking about is, you know, which is really sad, which is the part that makes me almost want to cry, is that it's being put on young people, children. You know, it's their lives that are at risk the most. I mean, at most, it's going to be the developing country and the underserved. Like she said, you know, she's one of the lucky ones. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably one of the lucky ones, too. You're not the one that's at, you know, facing, you know, malnutrition and water scarcity and all these other, you know, major, you know, life threateners.
Right. That we haven't even gotten into on this podcast. We have really been speaking more to a mainstream audience in a lot of ways. But yeah, you could go on and on and on. And I think, you know, I read one of the things about Greta that she initially started, and I don't have this all verbatim, but after one of the hottest summers in Sweden, where she is from, in 262 years. So it's becoming an emergency, right? The number of another article I was reading talked about if emissions continue to rise at their current pace, the number of people that will need humanitarian aid just simply as a result of natural disasters could double by 2050. So that affects all of us, whether you're in a socioeconomic higher standing or lower standing. No one gets to escape those kinds of things.
No, not at all.
It's a scary proposition that people we're having to prepare for the number of natural disasters that are occurring now in our country and that are now looking at doubling in, you know, 20 to 25 years. So it's a scary thing. And we have to just we have to start doing our part, which all of us, and hopefully our leaders will start to do our part. And I think one of the things we can do is express our views and feelings to our elected officials.
Right.
Certainly.
Yeah, because that's going to be what makes the biggest change. I mean, you can always do things in your day-to-day life, the changes you can make, but the big stuff is going to be trying to get these trying to get laws changed and change these goals and make them more real, or not changing the goals to make them more realistic, but changing the repercussions,
right,
to make, you know, corporate and global leaders really hold up to these standards.
Right.
You know, the 2015 Paris Agreement, their goal is to hold the temperature rise to at least 2 degrees Celsius above the pre-industrial era. And based on a new UN analysis, we would have to at least triple our commitments to be able to meet that.
I was looking at that as well, and the World Meteorological Organization on Sunday released a report and saying, looking at the five-year period between 2014 and 2019, it's the warmest five-year period on record. The emissions are at record highs. The emissions of carbon dioxide, the seas are rising. The global temperature is 1.1 degrees higher than it was in the mid-19th century. And at this pace, it will be 3 degrees higher by the end of the century. So that's the report
that
just was released on Sunday. Yeah. And then Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, said, I won't be here, but my granddaughters will. Your grandchildren will. So a lot of what we're speaking to that Greta is speaking to, that it's these future generations that we're dumping this problem onto.
Yeah. It's like people are thinking, oh, well, you know what? I'm not going to be here. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to live exactly how I want to live. And, you know,
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I didn't have to, carry anything. I'm going to just live the way I've always lived. And it's not fair. And that's why these children lodged a formal complaint under the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child.
Right.
Is because...
It's actually beautiful.
You know, their rights are being... They're being upheld.
Yeah.
Or they're not being upheld.
Right.
And, you know, the UNICEF... Hold on, I pulled something up. The UNICEF Rights of a Child, you know, 193 countries, I think... are included in this, and they have a whole list of all the different articles and exactly how they are being threatened by climate change and how it's affecting the rights of children and their health and their right to survival and development, their right to best interests of the child, the right to sustaining conditions, health, social protection, standard of living, all these types of things are being threatened and continue to be threatened at the rate that climate change is moving, because it affects the pollution in the air, which creates a lot of health problems. And like I was saying, in developing countries, even more so, the rights are going to be damaged.
One of the a climate negotiator from France, Laurence Tubiana, said that she had heard at the climate, summarizing this, but she said that several leaders said they had heard this message from young people in the streets. They'd heard it. And she said, everyone said, oh, we hear you, she said. But then she said, but they are tone deaf.
Yeah.
So they're saying out of one side of their mouths that they're hearing these young people, these young activists speaking up.
Right.
But apparently they're hearing it, but they're not able to hear what it really means. Mm-hmm. And then do anything about it. And you know, there's a lot tied to it. It is the money. It is the economies. It is all of those things. And yet, none of those things are really going to matter if we kill our planet.
Yeah, I know. It's like, maybe think about economic growth after we talk about getting the planet a little bit healthier to ensure that we're going to actually be there to see that economic growth.
That's right.
So it's a big old mess, isn't it?
It's a big mess, and it's a heavy topic, but it's something that we can't avert our eyes to or pretend like isn't there anymore at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said when we first started this podcast that I remember when I first heard about global warming in the 80s, and it was scary to me then. Mm-hmm. And here we are, you know, 30 some odd years later, and it's not only a fact and true, as so many people have tried to say it for all of these years, oh, well, you know, global warming, this, whatever, but it's alarmingly amped up and happening mm-hmm. faster than I think we ever could have anticipated. Yeah. So,
and I think a lot of people, they are blind to it. They just shut their eyes, they close their ears, they don't want to hear it, they don't want to accept it as reality. And it's, yes, it's an emergency. Yes, it's threatening all of our lives, our planet, the ecosystem, but it's not in your face. It's not like you see, you know, fire and burning buildings and you know, chaos. So people don't go into emergency mode and they just think, oh, you know what? That's just hearsay.
Yeah.
And they, you know, just don't listen to it and pretend that it's not there. And then all of a sudden it is going to be an in-your-face emergency.
You know, what I would say today, and we try to give tips on here, and we try to send you information and things that you can do as an individual. And I think, you know, as we've discussed this today, what I would say is educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Educate yourself as much as you can. Subscribe to some of this information from a news organization or whatever that you trust, and follow it and become an activist in any way that you can, mm-hmm. whether it's a little way or a big way.
Yeah, whether it's just talking to your friends and family and sharing that information that you learned, or looking up events in your area, going to you know, green events or river cleanups or whatever it may be to help, you know, get into the culture more and share, spend time with like-minded individuals and just get that, all of that education and knowledge just expanding.
Exactly. I mean, you could be the person that's sparking change like a Greta Thunberg, or you mm-hmm. could help spark and ignite someone else to be yeah. that person. So yeah. that's what we can do.
I was just thinking earlier today that, because I was in our employee lounge and I had cleaned, I had, unfortunately today, I had to go out to lunch. And so I went and got a salad and it came in a recyclable container. And so I was cleaning it out and I put it in the recycling bin. And I looked in the recycling bin.
Oh, no. Half a sandwich?
Well, for the most part, the recycling bin, and this is the big recycling bin in our employee lounge, for the most part, it was totally empty. But there were napkins. There was like one little, like there were probably two things that were recyclable in there. And the rest of it was all napkins and trash. And I was like, oh, man. And I was thinking we should hold a company-wide recycling education just mm-hmm. you know, to take the conference center and invite the entire building to come and learn how to recycle properly.
Why bother having the recycling bin if you're going to throw trash into it? Like we've talked about with the mm-hmm. pizza boxes and all those things we've talked about on here. You have to be mindful about what you toss yeah. in there. Otherwise, it goes in the landfill.
Yeah. So. And I did research we talked about researching your own recycling facility to see what's accepted. And ours is mixed recycling. So everything but glass.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be nice if people knew that napkins weren't recyclable. Yeah, and
we can start right here.
Yeah. So I got a little sidetracked, but that's just another initiative. Like everybody can, if you think about something like that and how to help spread the word and do your part and, you know, be inspired by Greta. Although it's awful that these kids have this pressure, they're making change.
Right.
We see it. Because it's more emotional. It's heartbreaking.
Yes.
So hopefully it inspired you a little bit. And, you know, it makes you want to do a little bit more. And like we say in every episode, just one step at a time, everything mm-hmm. makes a difference. Don't
That's
lose
right.
hope.
Don't lose hope. Figure out what choice you can make today or tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.